Well, today we're going to start a new series called Living Your Best Life. And this is, you may have heard of this. This phrase began as a hashtag, and by some accounts, it's been used 865,000 times on social media. It's mostly used to describe things like, you know, being at the beach landing that dream job or maybe even, you know, traveling the world, this kind of things, this living your best life. But we all know that these things won't make us happy in the long run. That eventually we come home from that vacation, we arrive to the beach, and well, there's seaweed on the beach. We land that dream job, and it's not really what we expected. And so throughout this sermon series, we're going to be talking about what really will help us live our best life. Where is it that we really will live the life that we want to live? What qualities will help us discover that? And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at different qualities that will help us live our best life and the life that Jesus is calling us to. So the first one that we're going to look at today is seeing everything as a gift. Now this week on Thursday, Halloween night, my oldest daughter, Abby, decides she's going to let me in on a little secret. She says, "Dad, we know that whenever you're checking all of our Halloween candy, that you're not really checking it to see if it's safe, that you're actually looking for all the Reese's." And of course, I didn't deny it at all. And I said, yeah, I am looking for the Reese's because you guys won't share with me. So I have to check it and make sure it's all safe, right? But, you know, as I thought about this, I thought, you know, if you guys would just share your Reese's with me, you know, the whole idea is this, is that you went from house to house. You said trick or treat. You didn't do much. And then you got all this candy. It was free to you. You could have shared with me all along. And if you had really asked, or if we had gotten to this point where, you know, there's only so many Reese's left, I could go to the store and buy more Reese's for all of us to share. But as I thought about that, I thought, how often do I do that with God? How often do I kind of hoard, protect, put my arms around everything that's in my life, like there's only so much of it to go around? And really that whole idea is a scarcity mindset. It's a mindset that says that there's limited resources, that there's not much here, and so I need to protect everything that I have, that I need to take care of it. I need to make sure it's all for me, because scarcity is all about me. Versus having an abundance mindset that says that there's plenty, that there's always more, that there's actually unlimited resources, maybe finite resources, opportunities, and it can be all about we. And in fact, an abundance mindset that we shift from this is mine to I've been entrusted with this. And so I want you to think about this as we read this story from Luke. Is this a scarcity mindset or is this an abundance mindset? And Luke chapter 12, we're going to look at this story. And it begins in this way. Someone in the crowd said to him, which is Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter between you?" And then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And then he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." And then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' And this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." Well, Lynn Twist, who's the author of a book called The Soul of Money, makes this observation. She says that we wake up each morning saying, "I didn't get enough sleep. Hopefully none of us thought this on daylight savings time Sunday. She says, most of us wake up and we think, I didn't get enough sleep. And then we go to bed thinking, well, I didn't get enough done. And she says, we live our days bookended by this scarcity idea that we don't have enough, we didn't get enough, we didn't do enough each and every day. And it made me think about all these different ways that we think of this, and these are just a few of them that I thought about, that we can fill our day in between waking up and going to bed, thinking, maybe I'm too busy, I don't have enough time, I didn't spend enough time, I'm not smart enough, I can't learn, it's too late, I can't afford it. You see, the scarcity mindset is a closed system with limited resources. And a scarcity mindset, to have winners, there has to be losers. That for us to have something, then somebody else doesn't have to have it. That there's only so much to go around. And that's what I see in this story. Because as this begins, Jesus has been teaching, and this man comes up to him in the crowd, and he says to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." Now, in time that Jesus, when you had a firstborn son, and then you had other sons, and you would divide the inheritance among them, but the firstborn would get a double portion. So in this case, if this man had an older brother, then they would take the inheritance, they would divide it into three, and then the older brother would get 2/3 of the inheritance. And so the man was saying, "Jesus, tell him to split it with me 50-50. This is not fair. I want what's coming to me. I want my half." And then Jesus replies to him, "I'm not a judge. I'm not going to decide who gets what in your family. But I will address what's going on inside of your heart." And this is what he says. He says this, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed." Which made me think, is there just one kind of greed? But Jesus says, no, there's all kinds of greed. But this greed is rooted in a scarcity mindset that we need to get what is ours, because there's only so much to go around. And he says, life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions. And then he tells this story. But notice how he tells it. He says there was this rich man. But then he says it wasn't because of the man's hard work or because of everything that he's done, his wise decisions. He says the ground, it was not under the rich man's control. The ground yielded an abundant harvest. It was a gift to him. The ground yielded an abundant harvest, giving this man who had an abundance already more. But then the man asked this wise question, "What shall I do? Since I have an abundance, what shall I do that even more has come to me? What shall I do?" And this is what he thought. And did you catch this? The man had this idea that it's all his. He says, this is all mine. 4 times in this small little story, he says, it is my crops, my barns, my grain, myself. And he says, here's what I'm going to do. Since all of this is mine, and now I have even more than I could ever dream, I'm just going to kick back. I'm living my best life. Maybe I'll sit around, toss some grain in the air, put some, you know, Snapchats up, maybe some Instagrams. Maybe I'll do a little TikTok of me tossing the grain around. I'm living my best life. And then he has the pleasure of being the only person that's ever addressed by God in a parable, in one of the stories that Jesus tells. And unfortunately, this is what God says to him. "You fool. Tonight your life is demanded of you. And who is going to get to share in everything that you have?" Which sounds a little harsh. You know, oftentimes when I've read this parable, I've thought, well, if the man was going to die the next day, I mean, what does it really matter in the end? What does it matter? What is Jesus trying to tell us? But this word demanded carries with it this idea that our lives are entrusted to us by God. That our time on this earth has been entrusted to us. That each of us have a limited amount of time. And the question always for us is how are we going to spend it? How are we going to use it? What are we going to do with the time that we have? And what Jesus was pointing out is this man had a choice of how to live his life. And this is how he had chosen to live it. And one commentator who commenting on this story says this. He says, this is a story that's all about a mismanaged miracle. That this farmer thought this abundance and this abundance of crop and the abundance of his life was all for him. When instead he could have viewed it as that he had been entrusted and entrusted by God with something great that not only could have been a blessing for him, but then could have blessed even more people. And then Jesus wants to conclude this story in this way. He says, this is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. So what does it mean to be rich towards God? You know, when I think about rich, I think about oftentimes we kind of know what that is, that there's probably a time when all of us have dreamed of being rich. Maybe we said, man, I just wish I were rich, or I couldn't wait to be rich, or maybe that's, you know, those kind of ideas where we say, well, we would love to be like them because they are so rich. And what have we meant by that? We've meant that we could buy anything that we want, maybe we could do whatever we want, maybe we'd have all the time that we ever wanted, maybe we'd finally be free. And what we've meant is that we can't wait, or we dream of a time in which there is an abundance. Well, Jesus tells us this in John 10:10. He says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, to take away. But I have come to bring life, and that you would have life to the full. And some translations say this, that you would have abundant life. Abundant life is beyond, superior, exceedingly more than all we could ask or imagine. In some translations, in the Message translation, it says that it's even dreaming beyond all dreams. That sounds a lot like being rich. See, the problem for us is that none of us ever feel rich. No matter how much we have, no matter where we've come from, that none of us ever feel like we arrive. It's always someone else. But I want to invite you for just a moment, maybe to close your eyes and just imagine that you are rich, okay? That you finally arrived, you're living your best life, you're finally there. And let's think about those good qualities. You know, it's not about what you would buy, but it would be about finally feeling secure and safe. Maybe it'd be about being free from worry. Maybe being rich means that you would finally be generous the way that you really want to be generous. Maybe being rich would be kind. That you would finally have the margin to show kindness because you wouldn't have all the stress that you're carrying around. That you would finally be kind to those that you meet. Maybe being rich means that you would finally have all those times to do the things that you've always dreamed of doing. That's what it would be to be rich. You see, I think that when we have this idea or this dream of being rich, what we're really saying is that we want to cast aside the scarcity mindset that we're all trapped in, and that we really are craving is to have an abundant perspective of our life and of the world. But Jesus is saying, this is what I'm offering to you. To those who would receive it, I'm offering to you abundant life, exceedingly beyond all that you could ask or imagine. It is yours. This is what I'm offering to you. Because imagine this little boy who is standing with Jesus and the disciples as Jesus looks out on this crowd, and the disciples say, who is going to feed these 5,000 people? And the disciples who had a scarcity mindset said, we can't possibly pay for food enough for 5,000 people, not counting the women and children. But there's no way that any of us could afford to pay for enough food for all of these people. But a little boy looks down at some loaves, fish, this lunch that his mom packed for him, and said, how about this? And Jesus blesses it, and they hand it out. And then it says they gathered up 12 basketfuls full, an abundance, out of something that seemed very small, but it was an abundant mindset. Here, I'll share what I have. Maybe it'll help. Whereas the people of Israel have left slavery and captivity in Egypt, and they go out into the desert and they're crying out to God that we're hungry, that we're thirsty. How can we possibly find food in the desert? And God says to them, I'm going to provide food for you. I'm going to provide manna and pigeons. But here's what you got to do. You have to leave this mindset that you had when you were in slavery. And you have to trust me to provide for you, that I'm going to provide for you exceedingly more each and every day. That you can't hoard up from day to day, but you have to trust me each day to just gather exactly what you need. And on a day in which you rest, I will give you double. But you have to trust me. And so each day God would provide, and each day they would go out and they would gather. But if they gathered too much and tried to hide it, they would become rotten and old. But each and every time, God is inviting them and inviting us to see that God will provide for us. And God is offering to us exceedingly more than all we ask or imagine. If only we would see everything as a gift. Well, a number of years ago, I was serving at a church, and as I was continuing the ordination process, then it was determined that I needed to go and to get another master's degree, which I had already done and already had the student loans for. And so as I prepared to do that, I took the steps that I needed to take, and I just thought, well, God will provide. I'm not really sure how it'll work. And so this got shared at church. And this couple came up to me, and I have no idea who they were. I hadn't met them before. But they said, we heard that you're going back to school, and we want to help you pay for it. And as I talked with them and I thanked them, they said, you know what? We believe in education. And they said, we have helped 9 other people with their education, and we want to help you. But see, here's the thing. In our conversations, I never asked them, okay, but are you rich? You know, how much do you make? Can you really afford to do this? Could you afford to help 9 other people? And can you afford to help a 10th? None of that ever came up in conversation. But what I saw from them is that they were rich towards God and that they were rich towards other people. And that they had the mindset of that we have been blessed and we want to bless other people. We want to change their lives however we can. And we feel like this is the way that we can do it. This is how we want to do it. It changes the way that we think, that we see the world, that we can see everything as a gift. And I believe this is what Jesus is inviting us to see. That you will never get there if we measure our lives by the abundance of the possessions that we have. We will never get there. We will never see it. But if we begin to see the world the way that God sees the world, that if we see everything as a gift, then we'll see the abundance of God all around us. And this abundance is a gift. And that for you and for me, this means that we can choose to see every day and everyone as a gift from the God who gives extravagantly. And this is what grace is, by the way. Grace means gift. In John 3:16, it says, For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That the very nature of God is to give good gifts. Good and perfect gifts. So for us, this means to be rich towards God is to see everything and everyone as a gift, and that we have been entrusted and we get to share that with others. That's what it means to be rich towards God. So today I want to invite you to live your best life by being rich towards God, by seeing everyone and everything in your world as a gift, and share that gift with others. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you that everything in our life comes from you, and that all of it, Lord, is a gift. Those things that we have, those people in our life that we hold dear, those memories that we cherish, those stories that we share, all of this, Lord, is a gift from you. A gift that you've entrusted to us that we get to share with others. So God, I pray for each and every one of us here today that our hands and our heart would be open to you. That, Lord, they would be open to the flow of your gifts. And that, Lord, the gifts that you give to us, that we would be ready and willing to share with others. That, God, as we have received your grace, that we would share that grace with others. So, Lord, help us to see life as the gift that comes from you. And let us share that with others. And we pray all this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.